1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Wow, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On the Thursday edition of the program, the Bears are retaining Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. What are they doing? We'll explain in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Pat Boyle. He covers the Blackhawks for NBC Sports Chicago. We talk with him more about the Blackhawks season, preview what's to come, and talk some Bears news. And he has some big thoughts on what the Bears just did. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Today's show is brought to you by State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt. Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt is ready to help you combine home and auto and save in Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. Call Ryan today at 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or visit his website, ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com. And mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Well, I tried to tell you. 2 days ago, I said Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, they'd be back. And Chuck Pagano and Mitch Trubisky would be the scapegoats. And what do you know? It happened. That's right, Chuck Pagano retired. Quote unquote, retired. And Matt Nagy said in the press conference today, we need a new quarterback. If we have a good quarterback, we'll be fine. Why do we settle for mediocrity? Always. You know, the last time I checked sports, life, it's a performance-based business. If you're good, you're rewarded. If you suck, you're fired. That's it. When you hand in a report, okay, at work, and it's not good, it's late, you don't do your job right, the boss doesn't go, well, maybe I'll give you another chance, or, oh, I understand, you're through, you're done. But apparently in the Bears' case, if you're mediocre, if you go 8-8, if you don't conform to your quarterback and break him, you're rewarded. You stay. What do you know? Hell, if that's the case, I'll be an NFL head coach. Let me run a team. I'll do it. I am just so disgusted. I'm so angered, enraged, mad, furious. It's unbelievable. Look, I was happy when the Bears made the playoffs. Don't get me wrong. I still am happy they made it. But it's obvious to me, it should be obvious to you, that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are not the answers for this team. Look at their schedule next year. The Bears will not be going 10-6. They're not a playoff team next year. So why retain them? Why claim to your fan base we're going all in for next year? Really? All in? So what does that mean? Drafting another quarterback? Signing somebody? Trading for someone? Pawning away more and more and more of the future? What is it now? And by the way, Ryan Pace should never be near a quarterback again, and he gets another chance to draft or sign one. Let's see. He signed Mike Glennon, a career-long backup. He signed Nick Foles, who was benched for Gardner Minshew. And yes, he drafted Mitch Trubisky and lost out on two potential Hall of Fame quarterbacks. But don't worry. He's great at talent evaluation. He knows exactly what he's doing. That's why he's staying. Look, I know, the Bears get one more year. They get one more year. Fine. Who knows, maybe the offseason will bring up a Deshaun Watson trade. Maybe they'll sign somebody. Maybe they'll work around the cap situation and sign someone. Who knows? And if that's the case, I take back what I say here today. But based on past history, based on where this team is today, it's not happening. I'd love to be the optimist and tell you it is, but I'm a realist. I've always been. You know that. It's not happening. They're not going to do it. They're not going to go out and bring in a huge, big-time quarterback. They're going to lose Allen Robinson. They've lost the morale of a lot of players on the team, too. Akeem Hicks tweeting out last night. Can anyone tell me what's going on? Akeem Hicks said that. Talk about dysfunction. You know, many people will tell you the Detroit Lions are the most dysfunctional franchise in the NFL. They're right. But number two on that list today, without question, is the Chicago Bears. Let me read you this about Ryan Pace, okay? Listen up. 42-54 record. 2-10 versus Green Bay. Three bad quarterbacks. Two bad head coaches. One drafted quarterback whom they traded up to get. Zero playoff wins. And the continuous selling of the future. How does any of that equate to, yeah, we like him. Have him come back. Any of you who are watching or listening, I want you to comment. I want you to find me on Twitter at John Z Sports. Find me and tell me how any of that makes sense. It doesn't. None of it does. What a joke. And you know, the shame is for the fans, really. And I feel very bad for all of you who continue to support this team, because every single year, you're left disappointed. I don't know one Bears fan who's been happy or satisfied about this team since they made it to the Super Bowl. Not one. See, at least the Cubs made a change. They got it right. The Sox, they've made changes. They're about to be right. The Blackhawks made changes, they were right. The Bulls are in the process of making changes. There's only one team that sticks to the same old song and dance year in and year out, and it's the damn Chicago Bears. That's it. I don't know what to say anymore. I mean, I'm shocked. Not even shocked, I should say, disappointed. Disappointed for the fan base. Disappointed for these players. How long is the average NFL player's career? 4 years. Any of these guys who play in the Bears today are wasting their careers. all of them who want to be in a Super Bowl, who want to play in a playoff game. It's not happening. It's not happening if you're on this team. That's why I don't blame Allen Robinson for leaving. I don't blame Mitch Trubisky for leaving. I don't blame anybody for leaving. If you want a Super Bowl, if you want positivity, if you want the right direction, don't come here. Great tweet from Carmen DeFalco. Quote, so Ryan Pace has been enamored with Marcus Mariota, signed Mike Glennon, traded up for Mitch Trubisky, and traded for Nick Foles. Yeah, let's let him pick the next quarterback. Thank you. I believe that Mitch got a raw deal. That said, we can all agree Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes, they're 10 times better. And the Bears passed on him. And guess what? With Matt Nagy back, goodbye to Mitch. Let's see who he brings in now. Who is he going to break this time? Matt Nagy is not an offensive guru. Anyone who tells you that, you respond with this. Which quarterback will he break today? He broke Mitch Trubisky. And I hope for the best if the Bears especially go and draft somebody. And they have to work under Matt Nagy. Good luck. Good luck. I'm disgusted. This team, in history, in historical standards, is one of the greatest franchises in the NFL. They are. Storied franchise. Loyal, great, supportive fan base. This is a football town. Even when the Cubs won the World Series, even when MJ had his 6 championships, this has, is, and always will be a football town. We all love our Chicago Bears. But this is the way people have been treated. This is the way fans have been treated. And I think it's time, as fans, to look in the mirror and think to yourself, should I be supporting this team anymore? What if I don't support? Will changes be made? It's not a crazy thought. It might be tough. Don't get me wrong. It'll be tough for me, but it's not a crazy thought. Because the only way, apparently, to force change for this team is to make sure they don't get your money. That's what I see. Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know what else to propose to make things better. Fans are outraged, and nothing happened. During the press conference, Ted Phillips said, oh, we can't clean house. I hate that talk. You could yell. You could scream on Twitter, on here. But in the end, your concerns and your voice, it isn't going to be heard. It'll be heard with deaf ears. And that's a shame. By the way, get this. You'll love this. Allen Robinson on Chicago radio yesterday during an interview said, I don't know who is calling plays the last couple of games of the season. I don't know. It could have been Matt Nagy or Bill Lazor or both. I knew it. The Bears will never confirm or deny it. During the press conference, they said those accusations were ludicrous, but Allen Robinson said it. Allen Robinson is on the record as saying it. To me, that's all the evidence I need. That's it. So good old Matt Nagy, whom I praise for giving up play calling. Selfless move. Way to put the team first. It turns out he's putting himself first. What a surprise. I'm more infuriated about Nagy returning than anything else. I'll be honest. I'm more infuriated about that, and here's why. He doesn't have offensive genius. He's shown me nothing. He's shown me nothing. He's broken a very good kid. Broken him. Mitch will go somewhere else. Who knows? Maybe he'll start again. But his career, for all intents and purposes, is over. And it's not his fault. That's what happened. The guy's running the offense when clearly, under his game plan, it didn't work. Doesn't matter. I'm all for having an ego, being confident, being a little bit arrogant. You need to do that to win football games. But let's face it, if you're not producing, you have no right to be that way. If you can't win football games, if your game plan sucks, you can't be that way. Matt Nagy put himself above the team, and guess what? He gets to stay. He gets to stay for doing that. Meanwhile, Allen Robinson, gone. Let's not extend him. Mitch Trubisky, gone. He's broken because of Matt Nagy. That's the big issue. That's the big problem I have. Ryan Pace, I know, can't pick a quarterback, but he's a good guy. He could evaluate late-round talent. You could have promoted him to president, gotten rid of Ted Phillips, gotten rid of Matt Nagy, and yeah, gotten rid of Mitch Trubisky. Fine, I would have been fine with that. But giving Matt Nagy another quarterback, that is a very scary declaration. We've seen what he's done with Mitch, and I know the narrative is, oh, Nagy needs a good quarterback, and it'll work. The last time I checked, if you want to be a head coach in the NFL, you have to conform to the talent you're given. You don't make the talent conform to you. It's a player-driven league. I bring up this example all the time because it's such a great point. When Lamar Jackson was drafted, everybody said he's horrible. He'll be a wide receiver, running back. No, John Harbaugh said, what works for you? What could we do to make you more comfortable? And you know what? They're winning. Maybe not Super Bowls, but they're in the playoffs every year. Lamar's a perennial MVP candidate. They're winning. They're fine. 10 years ago, Lamar would have been considered a bust. Today, not the case. Coaches have changed. The league has changed. That's a good thing. That should be celebrated. But Matt Nagy, he's still rolling around in the Stone Age because he doesn't practice that philosophy. You conform to him. Sometimes he'd help out Mitch. Sometimes there were great days for play calling. Others, not so much. No adjustments were made. Nothing happened. But don't worry, he'll be fine with a new quarterback. He'll be great with different personnel, just not this personnel. That's why he couldn't win, right? Because you have a top 10 wideout in Allen Robinson, a top 10 running back in David Montgomery, Mitch Trubisky, who could be an average quarterback, and a bright young star in Darnell Mooney. They were the problem, apparently. Not Matt Nagy. Okay. All right. If that's the way you want to go, so be it. But I'll tell you this much. The support from me, gone. I'm done. And unless the Bears go out and make good with their word and get Deshaun Watson, or get a game changer that could lead them to the playoffs? I have no faith in any of this. None of it. The Bears are one of the most storied franchises in the NFL. I love their history. You all, I'm sure, love their history, love what they stand for. But what happened with this press conference? What happened for this past season? What's going to happen next year? That does not embody the Bears football I know and I grew up loving. That embodies Cleveland Browns, Detroit Lions football. This is Chicago. These are the Bears. They're a story, franchise, legacy, history. Why are they stooping down to the Lions level? Why are they becoming inferior? They should always be elite. They're not. And the anger I have is just turning into sadness. Frankly, sadness. Because we all know the legends and the greatness that comes with this name. Yet when you look at this team today, none of it stacks up. I feel so bad for the players who have to deal with this. Guys whose careers could be lasting 1, 2, 3, 4 years, and they've been here, stuck here, with a non-contender, with mediocrity. And I feel especially bad for the fan base. Especially bad. I see people commenting on my YouTube channel all the time. I've been a Bears fan for 30 years. I'm 80 years old. I watch the Bears. I feel bad for you especially. You've seen 2 Super Bowl appearances, 1 win, and that's really been it. I'm 20. I've seen nothing. And who knows when I will again. A lot of people were my age and younger. Who knows what they'll see from this team over the next 10, 20 years. We don't know. Nothing good. But don't worry. It's acceptable. To them, it's fine. To us, we have to suffer. And we need to demand more from management. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Pat Boyle comes up next, so stay tuned. Hey, do you want to make some money this weekend? What if I told you I could offer you $250 free to bet on any game you want? Here's what you have to do. Go to sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. You must be 21 plus. You must be an Illinois resident. You could bet $250 free on any game you want for this upcoming weekend. NFL playoffs are on. College basketball, college football, the NBA. This is, without question, the best time to put down some money and make a whole lot more back. Go to sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Talk Chicago, here with Tonza Gluel, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's the host of the Blackhawks Talk podcast, ESPN 1000 Hockey Show, and Blackhawks pre- and post-game coverage on NBC Sports Chicago. Please welcome Pat Boyle to the program. Pat, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Great, John. Good to be back with you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being here. What was your reaction to the Jeremy Colleton extension?
Was not surprised at all. I think we saw after the bubble in Edmonton that this team was going to stay the course with Stan Bowman. And Stan, you know, the rebuild has been going on. The pivot or the change in philosophy, at least what Stan said in the fall in October, was that they were going to go with more of a youth movement and try to develop players. Well, that to me points at, you know, you're going to stick with the young coach that you brought from overseas to Rockford. You let him, groom for just over a year in Rockford, and he came in to replace Joel Quenneville. He thinks that Jeremy does a great job when it comes to communicating with players and developing players, and so it did not surprise me at all that he got a two-year extension. So basically right now, Colleton is in line with Stan Bowman. They both have 3 years remaining on their contracts.
Will he stay once the Hawks become legit contenders again, do you think?
Well, that's far down the road. I think, to say legit contenders, I think that's 3 years away. So I'd have to see the trajectory of the team, the player development that they're calling for. If this team is ascending each and every year and they're a legitimate cup contender in 3 years to 4 years, then I would assume he's doing a good job and he would stay on. If it's a bumpy ride and in 3 years, Kane, Taves, and Keith, their contracts are all up. If they're not ascending to be a championship team, we could be talking about, a complete overhaul with the cornerstones leaving. So that waits to be seen on that one to see exactly what Jeremy does over the next couple of years.
Pat Boyle here on Sports Talk Chicago. Pat, who's going to be starting at goalie for the Hawks this year?
They have not announced it as of yet. We taped this on Wednesday morning. They dropped the puck tonight in Tampa. I think it's going to be Malcolm Subban. I think it's going to be a combination over this 56-game schedule where they basically play, John, every other day. They play 56 games over 116 days, so you're going to see a heavy dose of Subban, Colin Delia. You might even see some Kevin Lankinen. These goalies, though, are completely unproven. Subban and Delia have a combined 82 games under their belt. Neither of them have ever played in the postseason. And Kevin Lankinen has never played a National Hockey League game. So at position last year, John, to put it in perspective, the Blackhawks spent $11 million on their goaltending position with Robin Leonard and Corey Crawford. This year, with Malcolm Subban and Colin Delia, they're going to spend a total of $1.8 million.
Wow.
So from $11 million to $1.8 million at the most important position on the ice. That's quite a gap there, and I think you're going to probably see that in production as well.
How concerning is that to you? Would you say that's the weakest part of the Hawks right now?
I would say it's very concerning because of the defense that was in front of Corey and Robin last year. They gave up the most high danger chances and high danger shots in the National Hockey League. And you had a tandem that was arguably the best in the league. And at the time of the pause, they were still 12th in the West. Now, because of the pandemic, they got put into the bubble in Edmonton and they made the most of that opportunity. So going into this season, to me, team defense is the number one key. If they continue to give up high danger chances and quality chances like they've done the last 2 years, this thing could get off the rails early. If they play relentless and have a blue collar work ethic to their approach, and that's some of the additions they made this offseason, John, they're going to be tougher to play against. At least that's what I've seen so far in the 8-9 days of camp that they had. And that's the mantra that they're trying to have their players go out on the ice and perform with. If they don't play with that work ethic, then things could get really ugly. If they do, it's going to take some pressure off those goalies, and they're not going to have to be the greatest tandem in the NHL, which of course they won't be. So it's a combination of things. It is, to me, the most glaring issue on this team, the lack of experience in net and really not seeing a guy who's on the precipice of being a National Hockey League number one goalie, but it's also on the players in front of them. If they tighten things up and play a defensive-minded style, they could take a lot of pressure off them and possibly surprise some people.
Are you worried about the Doc and Nylander and Taves injuries? How will that affect the Hawks so far this year, too?
Well, you lost right now. You're down your top two centers in on your roster. So the Taves illness is still a bit of a mystery. Fatigue, just we don't know the time frame of how long he's had it. We haven't heard a clear diagnosis. We think he'll be back at some point this season, and I'm hearing it's not projected to be long term. So I don't think this is like he's 2 months away or something like that. But Doc is going to be gone for the entire year with the broken wrist. You know, he was slated to be the second line center. He was slated to be Patrick Kane's centerman. And he had so much momentum coming off the bubble in Edmonton that it was going to be really interesting to see his growth here in year two. Now Dylan Strome takes over that spot. So the top line is going to be Alex DeBrincat, Dylan Strome, and Patrick Kane. These guys have shown that they have some chemistry, but it's time for Dylan Strome to step up. He just got a 2-year extension. He's only 24 years of age. He needs to become a vital role on this team if they're hoping to have any success. So the losses of Taves and Doc are huge right now. It was already going to be a daunting task to finish in the top four of this newly remodeled 18 division. Without those two guys, it's going to be even more difficult.
Pat Boyle here on Sports Talk Chicago. Pat, what's your reaction to the Bears' decision to retain Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace?
Well, it seemed, John, that that's the way they were going here down the stretch. Somehow management and ownership looked at that six-game losing skid and the mini surge down the stretch against bad teams as the arrow was beginning to point up. And I didn't look at it that way at all. I never thought that 2 years after winning NFL Coach of the Year that I would have this lack of trust with Matt Nagy. And it's almost buffoonish the way things carried out about not wanting to hand off the play calling to Bill Lazor, not admitting that Bill Lazor's making the calls. And then the reports late in the year when they had that mini surge that, oh no, Matt Nagy has had a larger role in the play calling. I mean, it's like, it's a clown show. And then when I watch George McCaskey and Ted Phillips on Wednesday, it looks like an SNL skit. I mean, all they can point to is that, you know, Matt and Ryan communicate well together. And, you know, Matt is getting better and growing into the job. I mean, it's almost like they don't get how cutthroat the National Football League is. I mean, to me, it was a classic. If whatever a Bears fan wanted and hoped to hear on Wednesday, they went complete oppo. And I just don't see it getting better anytime soon. And quite frankly, you know, this all goes down to Ryan Pace's decision to take Trubisky. They need better play at that position. And to think that they're going to give him another bite at the apple to pick another quarterback, to me, is beyond foolish.
Who do you think he would even pick? I mean, there are free agent options out there. They could turn to the draft again. What's your way too early expectation on who they may pick as quarterback now?
I mean, they're handcuffed, John. They are cap strapped. The cap is going to go down. You know, there's interesting options out there as far as via trade, like Wentz maybe or Prescott. But how are you going to pull that off? You don't have, you know, desired draft equity. I don't think you're going to deal Khalil Mack, although all things would be on the table. I don't think Khalil has played up to what we saw in year one here in Chicago. I mean, the only change they made was Chuck Pagano. That was their quote-unquote fall guy for this year. And I agree the defense The defense really has underperformed. It started a little bit last year, but the last half of this past season, and to see players leave here and do better, to see Leonard Floyd sack Russell Wilson 6 times in a season, and we can barely get 6 sacks out of our edge rushers for an entire season. It's crazy to me. I mean, the Robert Quinn signing was a colossal mistake. Should have taken that money and worked on the offensive line. Should have made a commitment, Matt Nagy, to the running game much earlier than he did. Should have handed the play calling off much earlier than he did. It's just, to me, it's such a reactionary franchise at every level. And if you were looking for some progress or a light at the end of the tunnel at the end of this season, to me, they just threw water on that hope today.
Who's more responsible for their current position, Pace or Nagy, or Ted Phillips?
I think it starts at the top. I mean, because Ted has been involved in the hiring process, Ted was involved with hiring Ryan Pace. So to me, Ryan's a really nice guy, but he hasn't performed well as a talent evaluator, and he hasn't done a good job at picking quarterbacks, and he has thrown big money at his draft miscues. And then the Matt portion, I mean, to me, Matt's probably more workable than Ryan ever was, but I also think there's a bit of an ego there with Matt. And I still don't think he's really ever going to commit to the running game. I still think he's reluctant in that area. Like, I still don't understand why, even at the end of the season, he would trot Cordarrelle Patterson out there when they were moving the rock. I just did not understand that. So, I mean, to me, the problem starts at the top, because you look over the last 25, 30 years, Ted's been involved in the hiring process. They have very little to show for it. He was involved in the hiring of Ryan. To me, what I would have loved to have seen today was George McCaskey saying, look, we need a thorough evaluation of this football franchise, and we need it done by a football person. So today I'm naming X person as special assistant to the owner, and they are going to evaluate the structure of our football operations, and they are going to submit to me their suggestion of what direction we go in, whether it's president of football ops, general manager, and head coach. That's what I would like to have seen today. Instead, they just trotted the same thing back like they normally do at House Hall.
Are the Bears the most dysfunctional franchise in the NFL right now?
I don't know if I'd go that far. Detroit's in that running. I mean, Detroit has one playoff win in over 50 years. So that's even worse than the Bears. And they've actually had franchise quarterbacks. Like, I don't think Matthew Stafford is a horrible quarterback. I really don't. Like, I think in the right situation, Matthew Stafford can win you some ball games. Now, I'm not saying he's elite. Don't get it misconstrued. But they have done more. They have done less, and they've actually had some decent quarterbacks over the years, and namely Matthew Stafford in recent years. But the Bears are certainly in the team photo for most dysfunctional.
More to come with Pat Boyle in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Pat, before we finish up today, last question. Can you tell us about the time that you rode the Metra with Bill Mickelson?
Yeah, you know, it was, so one of his big sponsors is KPMG. And a couple of years ago, they were sponsoring the women's U.S. I don't know, it was a women's PGA at Olympia Fields. And so they came up with a cool idea to promote the event by having Phil Mickelson come to Chicago a week or two before the event. And they wanted to promote how easy it was to get to Olympia Fields by using the train. And they invited, you know, a handful of sports anchors and reporters from around Chicago to have 10 or 15 minutes with Phil. And he made his way through a couple of cars and sat down with us. And it was actually at a time where Phil had just gotten rid of Bones, his longtime caddy, and decided to, you know, have his brother on the bag. So that was kind of interesting. It was really cool. I mean, I'm a huge golf fan. I've always been intrigued by Phil. I've always heard so many stories about him. And I ended up sitting there for about 20, 25 minutes. And we just kind of, you know, shot the, you know what, for a little while. And it was, to me, John, it was one of the more cool PR ideas that a sports event I've seen in my, you know, almost, you know, 30 years of covering sports. It was the most creative idea I've seen in a long time. And I think it served a dual purpose. It showed fans, A, how they can get to the event, but B, it also gave them, you know, a Hall of Fame golfer, and it gave some, you know, kind of unique perspective that he brings to the game.
Well, Pat, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure, and best wishes to you as the Hawks season opens up. Thank you so much.
Thanks, John. Stay healthy. Take care, everybody.
Great talk there with Pat Boyle, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Pat Boyle himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTaub, and Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluo. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Until then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No! Where are the turtles?